Getting started with solo RPGs can be a really daunting task. There's so much information out there, and sifting through it can feel like a full-time job. And despite all of it that's out there, it can be very hard to figure out just where to start. Something straightforward that says, do this, then do that. Well, here's the thing. Before you play any solo RPGs, you need to figure out what game you're going to play. And there are different types of solo RPG games out there. Step one is picking the one that's best for you. I put together a little PDF that details different types of solo RPG games and also walks you through the pros and cons of each, so you can decide what you want out of your solo RPG journey. Do you just like running through dungeons, killing monsters, or journaling from your character's point of view? Or do you want an in-depth story and you're really excited to jump on both sides of the screen, being both the player and your own game master? This PDF details all those types of games and more, as well as concrete examples so you know what to buy next. You can get it by going to crumblingkeep.com/solo. That's crumblingkeep.com/solo. Let's get you playing with yourself.
Hi, I'm James, and the first RPG I ever wrote was an AD&D 2E hack to make it sci-fi called Jump Space. Really wish I knew where that document was now. I'm here to dork out about dungeons and design on Crumbling Keep's The Dungeon Dork. There's a lot of information out there if you want to become a good dungeon master. And who wouldn't want to become a good dungeon master? But often neglected is information on becoming a good player. And by player in this instance, I mean someone playing a player character. Obviously, the Dungeon Master is also a player, but so much impetus is put on their role in the game. But when someone's playing a player character, henceforth I'll just refer to simply as player, they also hold a lot more of that weight than they are ever given credit for. And there is some information out there about that. For instance, the internet has come together to mostly roundly reject it's what my character would do. But what else can a player do to improve the game they're in? And the easiest answer for that, the simple, straightforward one that we're going to delve deeper into, is act like a dungeon master. Okay, so what is this nonsense? The Dungeon Master enters the game with a different mindset. It's not about what their character is going to do or achieve, or what powers they're going to take next level or anything like that. They have to think about the game as a whole. The whole shebang. They're thinking about the plot, they're thinking about every character, they're thinking about the NPCs. So a good dungeon master, when they're not an adversarial dungeon master, and there should never be an adversarial dungeon master, makes decisions on what would be best for the game. Impartialness aside. What would be most interesting for the game? And that, right there, is what I want players to take with them. Rather it be in a traditional RPG game, or even in a solo RPG game. When the DM is thinking like that, what would be best for the game and makes decisions, these are generally end up being challenges for the player characters. It makes things interesting. They have things to overcome. And thinking that way as a solo player, even though it might not be best for the health and longevity of your poor little PC, is going to do the same thing. It's going to move the game forward and give you something to chew on. But back to the more traditional game where there's a group of PCs and a game master. Thinking like a game master allows you to think about the game as a whole. And this is, again, the antithesis of, but it's what my character would do. If what your character would do would make the game suck for a lot of people, maybe make a different character. Don't take away your agency in that situation because the fictional person you made would be a jerk. You have the ability to not be a jerk. But that's the very low bar, ground level least you can do. Instead of act like not actively detracting from the game, you can try to actively add to it. And a lot of the same advice a game master would receive would be useful for you. Give each character a time to shine. As a player, it's tempting to want to roll the dice all the time, to make all the checks. But someone's gonna maybe be better at that than you, or somebody is just hungering for the action, be it pass or fail, because not every decision needs to be optimized for mechanics. It can also be optimized for the fiction. If Joe the Elf hasn't really done much this session, maybe let Joe the Elf make the decision on how you're going to tackle this next room. Ask for feedback. You're not playing it alone. So think about the party as a whole. And so, if not detracting from the game with things like, it's what my character would do, is step one, step two would be thinking about all the characters and how you can make it better for them. Let's take that to step three. Because as I mentioned earlier, while I'm saying player here, I'm referring to people playing PCs, the game master is also a player. And they deserve to have some fun too. What decisions can you make that are also going to be fun for the game master? Now, this is really a person-by-person situation. Some game masters love flying by the seat of their pants. So the more nonsense you get up to, the more fun they're going to have. Others would really like to do the adventure that they set out to do and have written in front of them. If they lay out an adventure hook, saving the kingdom, defeating the giant mutant crab on the southern coast, and you're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm gonna go rob a bakery instead. That's not so much looking out for the GM. That's not making sure the game master is also having a good time. Those hooks are out there, and biting on them makes the GM feel good and also plays into the game that they have prepared, which generally means everyone at the table is going to have more fun. Now, none of this is absolute, and there's not a straightforward formula on how to be the best player. There's also just some simple things you can do, like taking notes. I can guarantee that any GM is going to love you if you take notes about what happened in the session. bringing snacks, being as engaged as you can, showing up on time, taking on the scheduling duties. None of these are things the GM has to do, but really gets roped into a lot. That would be appreciated by the whole party. But thinking about the game as a whole is really a skill set to develop. And while it might seem like work and a drag up front, getting good at that is going to make everyone at your table have more fun at the game, including you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.